Welcome to Glenshaw Valley on this nice, currently sunny day. Hopefully it's going to stay that way. It's great to see everybody. As far as announcements go this morning, I really don't have anything that's not in the bulletin that I have been made aware of. So please just review the bulletin and look over the announcements. If you did not receive your Valley newsletter this week via email, there are copies on the back table, so please be sure and take one of those if you did not get it. And I would like to welcome back Dr. Paige Creech. Little quick story. Paige was here, it had to be, what, 3 years ago at least? It's been quite a while. And usually someone from session on the worship committee has been historically responsible for finding pulpit supply when the minister is on vacation or sick or something. And we found out at our January meeting, when Rebecca told us when her vacation was, that she had already filled in the pulpit herself and we didn't have to find someone on our own. And that was wonderful news. And then when she said, and Paige will be here for 2 weeks in June, we were all so excited because I had heard incorrectly that Paige had chosen to take a church and was no longer able to come and preach on a Sunday by Sunday basis because she had a church of her own. I learned this morning that that's not true. So maybe we'll see more of her now that we know she's available. So welcome back.
What a sweet fellowship you are, and how I have missed you, and remember many faces, and what a gift of hospitality and Christian faith and love I have received on coming in here again. I have missed you, and I thought I had made some terrible faux pas that made me not be invited back again for several years. So I was thrilled when my friend Rebecca DePoe, who I saw through the installation at Mount Nebo Church, who's was a good student of my husband for the Old Testament, as she came through with flying colors, and her call to ministry I saw very early in her life. So it was great to be called back to be with you. Thank you for this day. And next week too. My pleasure. Please join me in the call to worship and stand if you are able. Cry out with joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come into God's presence with singing.
The Lord is a gracious God, whose mercy is everlasting, and whose faithfulness endures to all generations.
Let us sing. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted. The Lord saves those who are crushed in spirit. And so we can come before such a God of welcome and grace, and we can confess our shortcomings, our sins, our failures, our mistakes. Let us then come to God saying who we are and who we hope He will make us to be. Almighty God, You alone are good and holy. Purify our lives and make us faithful disciples. Save us, we pray, from lack of reverence for truth and beauty, from a calculating or sentimental mind, from going along with half-truth or arrogance that thinks we know it all. God, deliver us from artificial life and worship, from all that is hollow or insincere, from mistaking harshness for humor, for being dull, pompous, or rude, from putting down our neighbors, and from indifference. For everything in us that may hide Your light, O God, forgive us. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, we pray. Amen. O Lord, see and hear us when we name and get close to our dark side, and provide us with Your light that we may be saved. Have mercy on us. Amen. Who is in a position to condemn us? Only Christ. And Christ died for us. Christ prays for us. Christ reigns in power for us. And Christ prays for us. Believe the good news of the gospel. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Amen. Amen. Continue with our statement of faith across the ages with saying the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Thank you. The peace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you.
And also with you.
Pass that peace to one another.
salvation. Purify me from within. Fill my heart with your Holy Spirit. Take away all my sins.
Again, it always seems strange to get up here and say, well, we don't have a lot of prayer requests today. Because that's kind of good, I guess, that everybody's life is going great, but we always have a lot of prayer requests. But the ones that have been made known to me today is from Kathy Segi, a friend of prayers for a friend of our congregation as she starts her radiation for cancer, prayers that the treatment will be successful. And I have a little bit of a mixed blessing, a praise and a prayer request. Praise request that it has been 1 year since Paul Ruby has gone to his heavenly home and has been living up there in heaven a wonderful life. Prayers for Bev, because it has been a year for her that she has been down here trying to build a new life without Paul after how many years? 60? 63. So please keep her in your prayers this week.
Let us open our hearts and offer ourselves in prayer to God with the prayers of the world too. God, it is a gift to be awake this morning. It is a beautiful thing to be invited into your presence, that our weary, weak, or our poured out selves might be recharged, renewed, refilled by your light, by the power of your word, by your love promised, even when we fall. We thank you for this beautiful setting filled with memories of love pledged, babies given, life celebrated, worship offered for your people here over the years, standing and singing and proclaiming who you are. Thank you for the blessing that we are to each other and to the next generation and to the neighbors and the community when we leave this place if we go with you. Bless each person in their life. Whatever their struggle is, walk with them. Whatever their confession is, touch it, turn it over, look at it, move them through it. Whatever their hope is, their dream, nurture it, tend it, grow it, if it is your will. Whomever they love who is suffering, watch over them. Run to them. Bring Christ and the caregivers and the teams that tend to them. Be they at home, in their own bed, a nursing home, an assisted living place, somewhere far away, lost, 90 years old, mind not quite there. People who are praying for this woman with cancer, that she be healed, let it be so. Let the blessings flow even in the healing process. We pray for Beverly and the witness of her love that I have seen and all have seen here today. 63 years of a promise through the highs and the lows of human life and still giving thanks. Lift up Beverly's heart at your table today, where we eat with all the saints living and dead across the ages. Be with us in our word and hearing. Be with us in all of our grieving. May we remember the people who are struggling in the world beyond this place, for there have been floods and devastation this week, tornadoes everywhere. There's been a mass shooting in Virginia Beach and many dead from one workplace. There are people who need help, people who don't have this community. We pray that you would find them and bring them in. You are looking for them. God, we pray for the world at large with all the leaders, that the leaders of nations would have you as a light and know what it is to find peace and know how to save humanity and know how to care for the little ones and take care of the aging and deal with the earth in good ways and be good stewards over everything you have placed in our hands. It is your world. Lord, hear us as we pray for all of our own personal needs or those around us or names on our hearts that are not spoken this morning already. Anyone listed in the bulletin, we pray for Pastor DePoe, for her enrichment as she studies worship in Paris and laughs and rests and plays and comes back full to pour herself out here in service to the people here. Thank you for her gifts and talents and friendship and love. Hear us when we pray for those who are grieving and anyone who's seeking justice. And when we don't know how to pray, teach us to pray as you taught your disciples to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Let the same mind be in us that was in Jesus Christ in giving himself to the world. Give from your own hands what your heart will allow you to give in gladness. That's what God uses to bless.
Because you call us to, promising us blessing and also asking us to be who you are in the world. So take this gift to the people, their hard-earned money. Use it for their labors of tax, that it would be given for good purposes to grow your glory all over the needs of this world. In the name of the Father, Son, and Spirit, we ask it. Amen.
Amen. Today's reading comes from Psalms 18, verses 1 through 3, and Romans 12. I love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer. My God, my rock, in whom I take refuge, my shield, and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised, so I shall save him from my enemies. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good, and what is acceptable, and what is perfect. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of yourself more highly than you ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For in as one body, we have many members, and not all the members have the same function. So we, who are many, are one body in Christ, and individually, we are members of one another. We have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us. Prophecy in proportion with faith, ministry in ministering, the teacher in teaching, the exhorter in in exhortation, the giver in generosity, the leader in diligence, the compassionate and cheerfulness. Let love be genuine. Hate what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with mutual affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not lag in zeal. Be ardent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope and be patient in suffering. Persevere in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints. Extended hospitality to strangers. Bless those who persecute you, and bless those and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate the lowly. Do not claim to be wiser than you are. Do not repay anyone evil for evil, but take thought for what is noble in the sight of all. If it is possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Be loved, never avenge yourself, but leave the room for the wrath of God, for it is written, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay," says the Lord. No, if your enemies are hungry, feed them. If they are thirsty, give them something to drink, for by doing this, you will heap burning coals on their heads. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Praise the word.
Please pray with me. God, open our hearts and our minds toward your word and your spirit, that in hearing we may understand and follow you and find life, everlasting life. Amen. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind, Paul says to the church today. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And this phrase is related to the word repentance. And repentance, as we know, means turn it around. It means let go of what is causing you pain. It means change your ways that you may be able to discern what is good and what is acceptable and what is perfect and what is God's will. It moves to the body of Christ after that initial call to transform your mind, because the mind is going to control the body, and the body is not just one individual, though it is. It's also all of us affecting each other and affecting who we are in the world for Christ. And after that body reminder, we get a list of a Christian life, the marks of a Christian person that were read this morning in Romans 12. And that list starts with, let your love be genuine, don't fake it. And that alone is enough for a lifetime of mind work right there. But the list goes on. Hate what is evil. Hold fast to everything good. Be patient if you are suffering. Pray to persevere. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. As far as it is in your power, as far as it depends on you, live peaceably with everyone. And don't avenge yourselves. God is the judge. Don't curse anyone. Bless everyone. Don't claim to be wiser than you are. Proverbs 4 teaches the same thing in wisdom in the 32nd verse. Be careful how you think. Your life is shaped by your thoughts. The church in Ephesians is told again in the 4th chapter, let the Spirit of God renew your thoughts and your attitudes. Your attitude, my attitude, what attitude? Yeah, that one. So what is a thought? I have learned that a thought is an energy that is behind all of our feelings, an energy that can intersect with the body and make it react in milliseconds, an energy that directs all of our emotions, up or down, in or out, wild or tamed. It interrupts how things are and takes in things from data that comes from all kinds of places. Maybe true, part true, not true, totally false. And we're not sure of the sources sometimes and how much is in there and how much we're buying and believing and how much is known to you or unknown to you that's inside of you in your mind. So a troubled man said to a very wise learner and listener, I would give my right arm if I could just have peace of mind. And that wise listener said to the man, ah, you don't have only a headache, you have also a heartache. And he pointed to his heart instead of his head. Bring it out. Look at it all with God. Set it out there before God. And follow this list and you will be healed, he said. What fills your mind and what keeps you in peace? Would you say goodness? Would you say love? Would you say God? Would you say the Spirit? And I don't know, but how you learn to train your mind, how do you do it if you want to change your life, but you don't know how? Because you see enough, you see that the thoughts that you have are creating the world in which you live and affecting others around you, and that makes you want Christ to train your mind. I don't know how you feel about your mind, but I have a love-hate relationship with mine. On the one hand, the mind is a terrible thing to waste. It's a wonderful blessing. It's a great gift from God. And what would we do? The worst thing we fear, one of the worst things, is that we will lose our minds. And then we won't know how to navigate so well in the world. And we know then to fill our minds as much as we can all our lives. We fill it with information and memories and knowledge and wisdom so we can navigate well in the world. On the other hand, I know my mind has a mind of its own, and it runs, and it can run me. Yeah, and the stories I tell and the memories I hold, they're different memories. I have a sister. She says I took all the candy. I said she took all the candy. That's how I remember it. The mind, it darts here and it darts there. It focuses and then it loses attention, you know. And it starts to imagine all kinds of scenarios, often the worst case scenarios. Did I remember to turn off the oven this morning? Oh, now the house is burning down in my mind. You know, what was that noise? Oh, that's the murderer coming up the stairs and he has the knife and he's going to get me. What did he mean when he said that? What did he mean when he said that? Well, I don't like him either. You know? And mine just runs faster. You're driving the car. You think you're driving the car, but it's like, man, the price of gas is really going up. Who's behind the price of gas? What kind of conspiracy is there when every holiday comes? What about the price of gas and the potholes? I bet they're both together in this. The price of eggs is going up too. I'm not sure. The mind is going all the time. Who can stop it? What are its limits? So you say, I'm going to train my mind. And you say, I'm going to focus. You know, I'm going to focus and get this right. So right now, try something with me. How does your right toe feel? Move it in your shoe. And your mind is there. It's there quicker than you can even think it's there. It's there. But now you've forgotten your left shoulder. And I just said it and your mind is already there. Kind of pull it down a little bit, move it around. But now this one needs adjusting too and your mind's already there. And it's running your body very fast. So my husband, Jerome, he said to me, you were laughing in your sleep last night, honey. And I said, really? He said, do you remember what you were dreaming? And I thought, and I said, oh yeah. I was trying on noses, and I didn't know which one to wear. The long one, the hook one, the, you know, a little stud there. Where did that come from? What does that mean? And how powerful are your thoughts that they can run you when you're asleep? And they can wake up your husband. And the mind does not sleep. It does not. I do. Sometimes my mind wakes me up in the night when I'm really trying to work on a sermon and I can't get that figured out and I'm wrestling with it and I can't figure it out all day long searching and researching. I go to bed angry and mad and frustrated and I can't figure it out. Mind wakes me up, tells me the answer. I get out of bed, I write it down, turn on the light, turn off the light. I'm much better. Mind helped me. But God, how may I train my mind, I ask my Lord, if I'm unaware of my mind's comings and goings and all of its doings? And how can I turn off my mind when it runs, even when I'm asleep, if I need to stop something? It's no small thing to try to train the mind, to have the mind of Christ. Somebody asks you, how are you? The mind says, say, fine, because that means don't ask any more questions about how I am. And the mind knows that. You know, mind is going to trick you too. I go to the gym sometimes when a guy named Rick comes in the gym sometimes and I see him. And one day he said to me, Paige, my right leg is really hurting me today. But here's the thing. Rick doesn't have a right leg. He's a wounded warrior and he lost his right leg. And it causes him great pain more than a year later. It's real to him. It's called phantom pain in his mind, still running a connection to that leg that's not there. And mind, it wants to save you. It wants to protect you. That's why it's there. It wants you to live. Doesn't care about your neighbor, your husband, your wife, your spouse, nobody, the kids even. It only cares about protecting you and saving you. And it always looks for the negativity bias. That's what social scientists tell me. Because then it's protecting, where are the holes, where's the trouble, where might you get hurt, how do you protect yourself? And it perceives where all things are, or thinks it does. The lessons that I learned about that, thoughts and feelings in the world, and all those become how I act and how I do. Three stores are lined up in a little strip mall, and they're all three owners are friends. But one friend on the end puts a sign up in his window. It says, sale. And that gets the other two going, oh, challenge, threat, better do something here. And the one on the other end puts a sign up in his window and says, huge sale. And one in the middle, oh my goodness, threats on both sides, terror everywhere. He puts up a sign in his window. It says, entrance, right in the middle. Mine loves to trick you. Mine will try to wake you up in the night. Mine will try to put you to sleep. Mine will try to keep you in the past and make you feel weighted down and not happy or able to move forward. Mine might push you forward too far into the scary, unknown, dark future, and then you can't live very well in the present. Mine might make you carry something for years and not know how to put it down. Mine makes me unstable. Mine makes me question myself, you know? So it makes me wonder, as a minister, what if we all had the mind of Christ? What if it filled the church? What if it was in all the ministers and all the leaders? What if it was in between a couple in a house? What if it filled that house? What if it filled a corporation? I heard that Disney has decided they're going to give all their employees an 11% raise over the next 10 years. But they're also going to give a 969% raise to the CEO over the next 10 years. Not the mind of Christ, not yet. St. Augustine wanted this in the whole city. He wrote his classic Christian book called The City of God on this idea. And John Calvin, the father of the Presbyterians, wanted to put it in the first Presbyterian city in Geneva, Switzerland. Tried it. And I still have that vision today. I still wish it was in the church, in the community, in the nation, in me. The mind of Christ. How do I learn to train it? How do I handle it when it outruns me? How do I feed it thoughts? Because the thoughts become the habits become the behavior. The behavior grows into my life, and this is me. For better or worse, I'm interacting with you. Where is your mind right now? I ask because your thoughts and your ways come from all kinds of places, and they are in the air. Paul calls them powers and principalities, filling your mind, passing through you, creating thoughts. We don't know where they come from. We pick them up in lots of places. We pick them up in the culture. You know how things are. Study finds that a violent video game is increasing and really changing young American minds really fast. That the 15-year-old Parkwood High School shooter, he was watching violent video games for 15 hours a day. And that is why Jesus said, if the eye is sound, the whole body will be full of light. But if the light in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? How great. Thoughts put into you in education, in politics, by your friends. What? You're not giving all your money to your children? What? You're not on Facebook? Stories you tell yourself, I'm this, I'm not that, this is my friend, she's not my friend, I'll be healed, I'll never be healed. Thoughts have a lot of power. Things are in your mind from your family too, and you did not put them there. They come from crisis they've endured, from trauma they've been through. They come from belief systems you may or may not come to share. They come from fears and secrets and emotions. And they pass from generation to generation, and they are hidden and carried by you. I share something now with you very personal. I've only been able to share it recently. I think you should hear it, though, because it goes to a trauma, a tragedy, a time of real change when I profoundly said, God, please change my mind, grow my mind. First to say, though, I have a good family. I'm very grateful for them, a wonderful mother and father who raised me in a Christian church, many happy times as a child. But 2 years ago, my Aunt Connie died. She was 55 years old. She died of colon cancer. And she was my mother's youngest sister. And my Aunt Connie was dying. My mother, her four sisters, and her one brother, Jimmy, were around the bed. I was. And before this time, I was very critical of my mother in a few ways. And I held some things against my mother, and I was angry all the time. She was not in touch with this sister, Connie, for all of my life, and I did not know why. And I knew that I had missed something and had lost something and a connection I could have made. And I was angry about that. And I thought she should have done something about that. She was a Christian woman. She was the older sister. What's up, mother? And to this criticism of my mother, I added another one. Because she had also not talked to her brother Jimmy in all the years that I was a child. And I did not know why. And I felt distance. I lost his family, my cousins, a lot of loss and isolation. And I thought, you teach me about forgiveness, mother. Why can't you forgive him? What is this about? And I carried under my smile and under my obedience as a child this anger and this pain. To this criticism of my mother, I added another one. I said, my mother fought every holiday I could remember with her mother. And on the long 2-hour drive home on Christmas Eve from her mother's house to my house, she cried. My dad sat silent driving, my sister and I in the back seat, quiet and sad. It's Christmas Eve. And I can remember the images in my head, the icicles on the tire of the bicycle that was going to be from Santa Claus in the back seat of the trunk in the rearview mirror. Very sad, and I was not happy about this, and I carried it with me until the day when Aunt Connie was dying, and she said, soon I will see our mother and little William. And I said, wait, little William? Who's little William? And my Aunt Jane leaned over, and she said, Paige, that's the baby your grandmother lost. I said, lost? What do you mean? Where? How? You mean died? When? Yes, Paige, you know, grandmother had this baby boy, and during the delivery, something went wrong, and he died. And your papa, who was a survivor of World War II and was injured in the war, he thought he knew best how to handle this kind of thing, and so he said nothing. And she did not see the baby, and he had the baby buried right away, and she came home from the hospital in silence, in tears, no talking about anything, shh, hush, no questions. She did not grieve the baby, she did not hold the baby, she did not have a memorial service for the baby, nothing. My Aunt Jane then looked over at my mother, and she said, Marion, you remember, you were the one at home waiting for mother and the new baby to come home. With Jimmy. My mother just hung her head down, and she just had this blank look. And I had this flood of scripture that went through me, and it was one that I never understood, and I always hated it. It said, the parents have eaten sour grapes, and the children's teeth are set on edge, down to the third and the fourth generation in Deuteronomy. And thank God, by the grace of God, it's just down to the third and the fourth generation. Because I started to weep. I started to weep. What had my mother and her mother and I been carrying all these years? What had they been through? And I started to cry. And where was she all this time? And what was I able to not help her with? And what she carried? Tears are part of the leaving when you don't have to be at that place anymore. When you suddenly see, and there was then nothing to criticize, nothing to judge, nothing to blame, nothing to resent, nothing even to forgive. There was just more love, just genuine love, just flowing in that place. Tears do flow in the night, and then joy comes from God in the morning. And compassion gives birth to new life. That's why Christ is who He is. And now I know why my mother always says the same thing and describes her brother in the same way. Jimmy stayed in his room a lot when he was a child. He did not talk. He drew a lot. And today he's one of the best machine designers in the world. And why she always spoke of her mother in the same way. She said, my mother always worked so hard. She was always tired, and sometimes she was mean. And I tried really hard to help her, but I could never seem to help her enough. Because that's what you do when the mind goes. You work to try to forget. Now we see in a mirror dimly, Paul said to the church. And one day, face to face, and you get it. And you see the mind of Christ. How precious to me are your thoughts, God. How precious to me are your thoughts. You see it. You know it all. I don't know it. I don't even know where I am in your universe. When you realize that what we are transforming ourselves from is our suffering, being relieved from that and taken up into our highest created self, the self of love and light and joy and Christ in my mind. Experience teaches me that every time I am farther and farther and farther away from God, I am closer and closer to pain and suffering in my life. The all-knowing God is the one I'm supposed to trust and follow, and He will lead me to life. My mind can create, does create, a whole world all of its own, and I live in it unless I have the mind of Christ. And it affects other people around you, and down to the next generation it goes. Oh, to have this mind of Christ is to train for it. Be in the world, but don't be of it. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And then you'll know what is good, and you'll know what is acceptable, and you'll know what's perfect even, and you'll know what is God's will and what is not. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Train it against judgment, resentment, negativity, bias, anger, ill will. Thinking you know and you don't know. Because I want a good life. I want joy and hope and love and connection. I want Christ in my mind. You know, therefore, before I answer the phone, Christ in my mind. Before I send out that text and email. Wherever I go, when I try to lie down at night to sleep, whoever I'm living with, when I see you or you or you, when I serve the church, it's very empowering, it's very freeing to have the mind of Christ, which is why you came today, to fill up again before you go out these doors and you're bombarded. It changes you, it grows you up into maturity, it sends away evil. It restores you. You have a lot to do. What do you need to get rid of? Anger, hate, resentment, agitation, fear? Christ, fill my mind. There's an ancient story of an army general. He wants to get rid of all the goodness in the land. So he's going to go kill all the priests and all the monks and all the villages. He goes from village to village, and he's going to kill in the most public, awful way, a sword through the belly. They either run away or they bow down when he comes to each village, except for one monk, which infuriated that general. And he came up and he said, "Don't you know who I am? I'm one who can take this sword and ram it through your belly without blinking an eye." And the monk looked at him and he said, "And don't you know who I am? I am one who can have your sword go through my belly without blinking my eye." And the general bowed, and the general left. Because God will keep in perfect peace the one whose mind is stayed on Him. If you're ready to train your mind, you got to make sure you are, because Gandhi said, you're nothing that's going to leave you that's giving you comfort. Nothing is going to let go of you if you like it and you're getting some help from it in any way. Only you can give it up when you see that it no longer is serving your purposes and your needs, when it interferes with what you want more than you want that, and then it will leave you. You won't have to leave it. And when you're really tired of living like Sisyphus, you know, you go for Sisyphus, sorry, let me not miss that one, Sisyphus in Greek mythology. When you're tired of living like him, rolling that stone up the mountain and it rolls back down on you, and you just do the same thing again and roll that stone up the mountain and it rolls back down on you, when you get really tired of that, then you'll start to say, I don't want those thoughts anymore. I want these thoughts now. And you'll train. You have the list. You come to church. You have God's word. You get it in you two ways. Crisis, like I talked about. Or it's planted in you. It's transmitted into you directly, which is why you have this church. Why the word is read from here at least once a week. Why you open the Bible yourself. Why you read and meditate on anything. And don't think it's not a great treasure to never lose. Because people were burned alive throwing these scriptures out of the windows when the invaders came in the dark ages to burn down the library and the sacred places. It's pearl of great price. It's riches more than this world has to offer you and your children. Ask yourself a couple of questions in closing here. God, is my love genuine, or am I faking it a lot? Do I bless where I go, or do I curse? Do I seek peace as far as it depends on me, or do I like to sow seeds of discord, destroy peace? Do I struggle to overcome evil with good, or do I have a few other ways that are working, I think? And Paul will take you to the max on training your mind, because he says, if your enemies are hungry, feed them. If your enemies are thirsty, give them drink, because you'll heap burning coals on their head. And I say, now, Paul, that sounds vindictive. I thought, you know, you were telling us not to do that. And I would start thinking just like that and be judging, until I learned that Paul knew of this Egyptian ancient rite, and it was used in the ancient Middle East, and people were trying to change and admit a fault, and they walked around in public with a basin of hot coals on their heads, the penitents. Maybe they changed, maybe they didn't, but they wanted to. It was a sacrifice. It was a burden. Trust God on the good side, wherever it lands. Be found where God is. Because it's the one thing I'll say, and we'll come to the table. You and I will be transformed. This place will be transformed. Where we are in the community will be transformed. The nation will be transformed when our minds are filled with Christ. Let it be so through you, people of God. Amen. Let us come to the table, preparing to sing. Please be seated.
Behold, Jesus said, I stand at the door and knock. Whoever hears my voice and opens that door, I will come in to that one and eat with that one. Happier all who find refuge in God. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Any one of you who is hungry or thirsty for the living God, this is the feast of Christ that is offered for you again today. Please pray with me. Oh God, it is indeed right and good to give you thanks and praise, for you lift up our hearts and we lift them up in praise to you. We remember you across all time, setting people free, creating your world, bringing it life, intending it to go around and be created again and again, goodness, by your grace and your power. We remember your spirit that hovers over the waters, that enters our sacred places, that binds up the church, that turns us around, that keeps us renewed, that blows where it will, and we hope it descends on us like a dove. We remember your Son especially, who reveals your fullness in himself, the gift of him to the world, to each one of us, and how he lived here that we would receive him through his teachings and through his healings. And as he came and encountered each one by one, receiving all of them, blessing the children, taking care of the sick, giving us wisdom, eating with sinners. And we remember him in his suffering, how he died, and how he was risen from the dead. And in his resurrection is our hope, that we too might know that after death, your plan is resurrection life for all of us. And so we count this feast as the Lord's feast, his invitation to us to come and remember who he is for us when he provided with the one body for the one body. And the one shed blood for all the blood we will shed and he will shed and the sins that are covered from that blood. We understand the sacrifice in part and the table in part, but grant us your grace to receive the full joy and thanksgiving and reverence at this table as we feast in your name. Amen. On the night when Jesus was betrayed, he took up the bread, he blessed it, he broke it, he gave it to his disciples, he said, take, eat, this is my body, it's given for you, do this in remembrance of me. The Savior of Jesus Christ, take, eat, all of you. In the same way, after the supper, when Jesus was with his friends, even the one who betrayed him, he took up that cup. He said, this cup is a sign of the new covenant that I made with you. It's shed in my blood. It's sealed for you. It is for the forgiveness of all your sins. Do this every time you drink of it in remembrance of me. For every time you eat this bread and you drink this cup, you proclaim my saving grace until I come again. The ability of God, they're for the people of God. The cup of Christ's saving is for you. Drink of it, all of you. Let us pray. Oh God, we understand that you are the way and the truth and the life. And so let us love now as you have first loved us in this covenant that you make with us by your blood. In that knowing, let us then understand that as we stumble forward, we will help those who stumble forward. And that as we know your suffering and our own, we will walk with those who suffer. And that in your life and your teaching, we will live and learn and grow, that we might learn how to be followers of Christ in grace and beauty and strength. Now that we've been together at this table, strengthened by your word and your body and your blood, let it flow through us that our lives might proclaim the one who has died and is risen, being the gifts of life to the people of God. In Christ, through Christ, and with the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Let's sing. You might abound in this hope from this day forth and forevermore. Amen.
Amen.